Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we're going to go over the readings from both the Mass and the second reading from the Office of Readings that is given in the daily office. These are official readings that are to be done as part of a liturgy, two different liturgies, one the Mass, one the Office of Liturgies, which is the daily prayer of the Church, to give further reflection and understanding about this season. And once I've read these, I will give a little commentary on it, so hopefully you can take away from it something worth all this time. So the first reading is a reading from the book of Isaiah. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples a feast of rich food and choice wines. Juicy, rich food and pure choice wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the veil that veils all people, a web that is woven over all nations. He will destroy death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces. The reproach of his people he will remove from the whole earth, for the Lord has spoken. On that day it will be said, "Behold the Lord our God, to whom we looked to save us. It is the Lord for whom we looked. Let us rejoice and be glad that he has saved us. For the hand of the Lord will rest on his mountain." The word of the Lord. The response, I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Besides restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul. I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage. I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. You spread the table before me. In the sight of my foes, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Alleluia, alleluia. Behold, the Lord comes to save his people. Blessed are those prepared to meet him. Alleluia, alleluia. The gospel is a gospel according to Matthew. At that time Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, went up on the mountain, and sat there. Great crowds came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the deformed, the maimed, and many others. They placed them at his feet, and he cured them. The crowds were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the deformed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind able to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Jesus summoned his disciples and said, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd, for they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, for fear that they may collapse along the way." The disciples said to him, "Where could we ever get enough bread in this deserted place to satisfy such a crowd?" Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" "Seven," they replied, "and a few fish." He ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, gave thanks, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. They picked up the fragments left over, 7 baskets full. The Gospel of the Lord. And the second reading from the Office of Readings is a sermon by Saint Bernard, an abbot. We know that there are 3 comings of the Lord. The third lies between the other two. It is invisible, while the other two are visible. In the first coming, he was seen on earth, dwelling among men. He himself testified that they saw him and hated him. In the final coming, all flesh shall see the salvation of our God, and they will look upon him whom they have pierced. The intermediate coming, though, is hidden. It is only the elect that will see the Lord within their own selves, and they are saved. In the first coming, our Lord came in the flesh, in our weakness. In this middle coming, he comes in spirit and in power. In the final coming, he will be seen in glory and majesty. Because this coming lies between the other two, it is like a road on which we travel from the first coming to the last. In the first, Christ was our redemption. In the last, he will appear as our life. In this middle coming, he is our rest and our consolation. In case someone should think that what we say about the middle coming is a sheer invention, listen to what the Lord himself says. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him. There is another passage of Scripture which reads, he who fears God will do good. But something further has been said about the one who loves, that is, he will keep God's word. Where is God's word to be kept? Obviously in the heart. As the prophet says, I have hidden your words in my heart, so that I may not sin against you. Keep God's word in this way. Let it enter into your very being. Let it take possession of your desires and your whole way of life. Feed on goodness and your soul will delight in its richness. Remember to eat your bread or your heart will wither away. Fill your soul with riches and strength. If you keep the word of God in this way, it will keep you. The Son with the Father will come to you. The great prophet who will build the new Jerusalem will come. The one who will make all things new. This coming will fulfill what is written. As we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, we shall also bear the likeness of the heavenly man. Just as Adam's sin spread through all mankind and took hold of all, so Christ, who created and redeemed all, will glorify all once he takes possession of all. We have here a lot that can be unpacked as far as today's reading goes. But the more important thing that I want to first focus in on is the homily that's given by St. Bernard, or the sermon as it's recorded in the liturgy of the daily office readings. And it kind of goes off of the Alleluia portion of the Mass reading, which basically says that the Lord comes to save his people, and blessed are those who are prepared to meet him. And it talks specifically about there being three comings of the Lord. Now, as I said before, Advent prepares us for these three comings. It prepares us first in a very real way for the end times, because that's kind of the focus of these first 2 weeks, is to get us an idea of the end and to realize that Jesus Christ is coming again to judge the living and the dead. That's kind of been the message on the previous days of Lent, of Advent, Lent. Wow, I'm way ahead of myself. But it's giving us the perspective of looking to the end, realizing that judgment is coming and we have to give an account of our lives. And it also prepares us for the eternity that comes after, where in one sense or another, we're either going to be with God in heaven or we're going to be in hell for all eternity. And this is kind of the first part where people are looking at all these signs, wonders, looking at this end time stuff. And a lot of the end time stuff misses the whole point of what God is trying to do and teach us in various scriptures. We know this because when we look at the first coming, which is modeled for us in scripture and shown to us by him becoming a babe in Bethlehem and being rejected of his people and suffering on a cross because of it, that there is this misunderstanding that comes with a lot of people looking for God, just as the Jews were looking for a Messiah to deliver them in the first century of our current era, the AD, Anno Domini, they missed a whole lot of what God was saying. And a lot of that can be looked at with all these end time prophecy people that are talking today that are really missing some of the coming blessings that is to be related to us from Scripture. And a lot of it gets missed because we're missing this big boat, because we're looking for this grand thing, just like the Jews were when Jesus came the first time in the humble form of a human child born in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. But this only reminds us that that if we really look at the third coming, we'll begin to understand a little bit more about what the end times are, what the comings of Jesus are, and really get an understanding of Scripture. In fact, it's my perspective that because there are these three comings, that a lot of people miss these comings by mixing up one with the other, just as the Jews of the first century were mixing up prophecies relating to the end of the world, the end of the age when Jesus would come in glory to judge the living and the dead. They missed his first coming as a babe in the manger who would die on a cross for us and redeem us through his sacrificial death. And it's because of this, when we kind of are still looking at these end time prophecies, we mix up prophecies that are relating to God coming to us individually in our own lives with the prophecies of him coming at the end of the age. And a lot of that is the similar kind of mix-up that goes on. In fact, as we read through what St. Bernard had to say, he tells us that this third coming lies between the two. Now, for those of us who are Catholic, this third coming can come to us specifically in the Eucharist that we celebrate every day in Mass, because Jesus said the words, "This is my body, this is my blood." And there's this miraculous changing of bread and wine into the actual body and blood of Christ. This is something that's brought out in Scripture. It's the participation that we are to look forward to, as Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 points out, that is not the cup that we bless a participation with the blood of Christ, is not the bread that we break a participation with the body of Christ. There's a reality that comes on there. But there's also this other level in which we can understand this participation, and that's simply in our own personal experience with God that happens while we are walking on this earth and experiencing God as we're supposed to. In fact, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take possession of him in how we live our lives, because this is what was written in the Scripture, where it says, as we born the likeness of the earthly man, meaning we were born naturally like Adam, we shall also bear the likeness of the heavenly man. We bear him in ourselves. If we look to our Protestant brethren and we see how their emphasis from the gospel is to say a sinner's prayer and accept Jesus into their hearts, that there is the reality that is being talked about as the third coming, the coming that comes in between. It's having that personal union and that personal relationship with Christ, something that we as Catholics do every time we go to Mass and receive communion, because in receiving communion, we are receiving Christ into us once again. As we were reminded yesterday with the words of the centurion, where he says, "Hey, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but only say the word and I shall be healed, or my servant shall be healed." And it's a reminder of what we say every time in the Mass right before communion, of recognizing that, yes, this is the Lamb of God. This bread, this wine is no longer bread and wine, but is actually the body and blood of Christ, and we're going to go forward and receive him. And this is how we bear him in our heavenly man, this heavenly man inside of us. But it's also in keeping the Scriptures. If we hear God, we will do good. If we love him, we will keep his word, because the Father will love him and we'll come to abide with him. This is that third coming, that coming in between, where he abides in you and you in him as a branch on the vine, which kind of takes you back to why that is such a central message for this particular podcast and myself in particular, and really getting into this, because that is really where our hope and our grounding comes into play. Because if we will hide the word in our heart that we might not sin against you, as that I believe it's a psalm tells us, we will keep the Lord in our hearts in a way that he truly does fellowship with us. And one of the specific ways in which we keep the word in our heart is to recognize the word as it's meant to be, that we understand that when he does do the communion thing and we hear the words, this is my body, this is my blood, and we receive communion, we're receiving them into ourselves. It's not a consubstantiality where you're still receiving bread, but you're spiritually receiving the Lord in some realistic sense. It's not a memorial where you're only receiving bread, but you're remembering the passion, death, and resurrection in a particular way through bread and wine. It is a real participation, a real communion, a real fellowship with him that goes on at that point. And this intermediate one is a hidden one. It's one that only the elect, as St. Bernard points out, are able to see the Lord with themselves, because we're saved, because it's an individual relationship type thing. Your relationship to God is something that is that coming. In fact, if we look back into the Old Testament, we see the different comings of the Lord in the Old Testament. There are comings in judgment, like he did with Sodom and Gomorrah and various other times throughout the Old Testament. But there's also personal comings, like when he visited with Abraham to tell him that he would be father of Isaac within a month or within a year. And that whole account, or even when he was telling him that Sodom and Gomorrah would be destroyed, and Abraham was right in his face, basically saying, no, hey, if there's so many people that are still following you, you know, what about saving it for them? And he boiled it all the way down to 10 people and got the answer to his prayer, which shows how prayer is a second coming or a third coming, if we want to look at it that in that kind of technical sense. And this is what it's all about. Because in the first coming, we received Christ as our redemption. He became a child in Bethlehem. He took on our nature so that he could die and rise again. In the last coming, he will appear as our life. This is when we go into eternity. But it's in this middle coming that we receive rest and consolation during our Christian walk. And this is the whole point that is coming out of the readings in the Mass today. Because if we look at the first reading, looking at Isaiah, we talk about the mountain of the Lord of hosts, where he provides for everyone. It's a rich food and choice wines, kind of an imagery there of the marriage supper of the Lamb, or more in particular, the Mass celebration, where we receive rich food, the Eucharist, the bread of life, Christ himself in his body, and choice wines, juicy, rich food and pure choice wines. This is all showing us how the Mass itself, in a real sense, is that marriage supper of the Lamb that's talked about in Revelation 19. In fact, if we really get into a study of Revelation, which one of these days I will get into, it does unfold very easily in the Mass. I believe Scott Hahn was one of the first guys in modern times that pointed this out. But this is something that goes back even further beyond him, because there was a book. Let me try to see if I can see it in my little library here. It's somewhere over there. The Seven Veils of Mary. It talks about Our Lady of Guadalupe, and in it, it kind of breaks down the Mass from the Book of Revelation and kind of shows different parts about it. I'll probably take notes out of that and use that as part of a series later on down the road, especially because we do have Our Lady of Guadalupe coming up next week as a feast day for us to remember, and it's a good feast day for us relating to the particular time of the year that we're in. But it's a reminder that there is the Mass, which is this marriage supper of the Lamb. In fact, it even talks about how on this mountain, God's going to separate the veil that veils all people. It's kind of a web of deceit, if you will. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians about how Moses had to wear a veil, and how we have the glory of God more or less transfigured by the treasure that we keep of him in our hearts. And this is kind of what was talked about yesterday. And this treasure that we have in earthen vessels is the treasure of God's third coming, the coming that comes in secret, that is an individual coming that you and I receive when we receive communion, or when we are praying, or when we are reading our Bible, or really just having any kind of abiding in him moment where we are a branch on the vine to experience him in his fullness. Because it's in this moment, as Isaiah points out, that God wipes away all of our tears and removes the reproach of us as the Lord speaks. Because this is the coming that he comes to us in this day and age. And the veil that he separates is a veil of allowing us to really perceive what it is that God has waiting for his people. In fact, that's why the psalm today is Psalm 23 about the Lord being our shepherd, because during this middle coming, during this time of Jesus coming between Bethlehem and the end of time, we receive God as a good shepherd leading and guiding us beside restful waters or still waters and green pastures, verdant pastures. He gives us the ability to rest. It's a refreshing of our soul, as St. Bernard was trying to point out in his sermon. It's getting into this consolation that we have. In fact, it's a reminder that even though we walk through a dark valley, or as some translations say, the valley of the shadow of death, we don't fear evil because God is with us in this third coming, this third parousia, this third end time, if you will, period of time to really be with us. And a lot of that kind of shows out that when we really understand that this third coming is a real coming of God in real presence, we can understand certain questionable scriptures, in 1 Corinthians 15, where people misunderstand the resurrection and stuff and think that it's all past, and there is no future glorious resurrection, as the church teaches, because they hold on to a strange, almost Gnostic view of the end times, being amillennialist or hyper-preterist, as the technical theological designation for them goes. I won't explain all of it, but basically there's a group of people that believe that all the prophecies were fulfilled way back in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed, with God coming in that particular fashion, and there is no future resurrected glory. We're just going to become spiritual beings and move on. This is kind of a hyper-preteristic view of those scriptures. There's more of a middle ground that probably is more likely and does fit more the historical position of the church, but we'll go into that some other time. But as far as what we're looking at, today is the day in which we're walking through this valley of the shadow of death. This is where the table is spread before us in the sight of our foes, where we are anointed with oil and our cup overflows, where there's goodness and kindness following us, and we dwell in the house of the Lord because we dwell with him in this third middle coming that's in a hidden way. It's this where the gospel affirmation reminds us that the Lord comes to save his people because he comes to you in this middle way. And we see this also in the gospel itself, because the gospel is telling us that as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, there were many great crowds that were being brought to him, those that were lame, those that were blind, those that were deformed, those that were mute. And you kind of notice, like, you know, sometimes when I'm reading these things, I kind of flub a word here and mess up a sentence there. But the end result is, you know, you've done that too when you're trying to read out loud. But it's one of those things that shows that, you know, God even takes even my inabilities sometimes and makes it even perfect. And this is when we really start experiencing God, because Here in this, God, they place him before Jesus and he cures him. We get into this third middle parousia where we're actually experiencing God face to face, and he makes the mute speak. He allows the deformed to be made whole. Lame start walking, blind are able to see, and everybody glorifies the God of Israel because it's the hidden coming, the coming that we don't expect. Then Jesus, when he sees this, he gets moved with the pity for the crowd, and he says, hey, they have nothing to eat. They've been walking with me for 3 days, kind of a typical reflection on the death, burial, and resurrection by the three-day reference there, and about how he doesn't want to send them away hungry because he knows they have need. So here he's showing the Eucharist as part of the third middle way, by basically doing the miracle of the loaves and fishes and feeding a great crowd there, because he breaks the loaves and he gives them to his disciples, who in turn gives them to the crowd, and all were able to eat and be satisfied, and they still had fragments left over, seven baskets full. And this really speaks of the greater way in which God takes care of us. So I want us to kind of have this today, kind of get this idea in our head, and hopefully this has turned into a blessing for you. And if it has, at least consider being a part of a patron to this ministry. Click on the link in the description below and at least give us a $5 pledge each month so that we can continue to do what we need to do with this ministry and reach others. But that's kind of just so that we can continue to reach others with the lost, reach the lost for the gospel, and those who are saved, so that they can get a little bit more into being a branch on the vine. But still, this is something that hopefully this blesses you, you feel motivated to it, and that you really got something out of this today, especially understanding that there is more than just the first coming that we celebrate on Christmas, or the end time celebration that we look for in our eternal salvation, being with him in all eternity. But we find Christ every day in our life. As St. Ignatius Loyola tried to point out, that we need to examine our lives and really look to find God in them, because he does come in this middle way, and he is present to us every day in some manner, and especially when we go to Mass and receive him in the Blessed Sacrament. So hopefully this has been a blessing to you and will help you, and that you truly have a very blessed day.